man in the scripture that probably had the greatest testing time of anyone recorded in God's word is, of course, Job. He was put to the test. Had he done anything wrong? No. The Bible says he was perfect. The Bible says that he feared God. He hated evil. And that's the kind of man he was. So why did he face the test that he did? The whole book of Job describes all the testing that he went through. You know, Job was, he was a worshiper. He worshiped God. And then he was also a godly dad. He was concerned about his 7 sons and 3 daughters. When they had a big feast afterwards, he went and offered a sacrifice for each one of them. And his statement about that was, lest they have sinned against God. He wasn't going to take any chances on it. He was a dad that was righteous and hated evil and feared the Lord. He was a worshiper. He was a good dad. I mean, he had a lot of wonderful, wonderful qualities about him. Yet he probably suffered more than any other man in the scripture. Why? Why? Well, people suffer for different reasons. He suffered because he was targeted by the enemy. He was targeted by Satan himself. And so he suffered what he did because of his righteousness, because he was upstanding, because he was perfect. And Satan targeted him because he was a good, godly man. That happens. You'll see people that have suffered, or suffering trials, suffering all different kinds of things, and you wonder, Lord, they're such a good person. They're such a godly person. They're so full of faith, and they live such a good life, a holy life. Why are they facing? Well, they're under an attack of the enemy. Right now, there's a lot of people, good, godly, Christian people, that are under an attack of the enemy. They are suffering because the enemy is targeting them. Most everybody that I have talked to about this situation understands that this is a demonic attack. This is satanic. And we need the deliverance, the help of the Lord. Harry was telling me about, he has a little piece of property just in South Law County. It's just some land. And he goes down there every morning early and pulls his truck down there and just sits in his truck early in the morning and cries out to God. What he said, the way he described it to me was, I meet with God. I meet with God and I pray until I feel his presence. And then I ask him, Lord, move for me, move in our family, move for my wife, move in this situation. Because he understands that they're under an attack of the enemy. And so sometimes people are tested because of Satan has targeted them, zeroed in on them to try to destroy their faith, to try to destroy their life, and it's a lie of the enemy. Other people suffer trials because they have done wrong, and they face the consequences of their wrongdoing. Psalm 3 is a psalm of David. Let's read a few verses here in Psalm 3. Lord, how many are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept, and I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. Not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Now this psalm is written, if your Bible has any extra notes there at the top of that chapter, in my Bible it says a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Now David is in trouble, and you have to back up, rewind back to some of the things that David did that brought him to this place. You remember that he sinned with Bathsheba, and then he murdered Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. My, that shows just how ruthless that the human heart can get. And even a man like David, to commit adultery and to commit murder and to try to cover it up. So David had sinned. And he was going along until the prophet Nathan spoke to him, confronted him, and then David repented. His repentance was pretty thorough. You read about it in Psalm 51. He was really, really sorry. He repented of what he had done. He said, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly. My sin is ever before me. Purge me with hyssop. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It was a pretty thorough repentance that David went through there. But then there's also the consequences of our wrongdoing. He repented. I believe he received forgiveness from the Lord. But then there's also consequences that happened in his family because of his sin. That's something to think about, something to consider. His son, Absalom, was bitter against him, estranged from him. He became so bitter because David had kind of ignored his brother Amnon's sin against Tamar. He committed a terrible sin against her. Absalom wanted his brother to pay the price for that. And it was so held in his heart against him that he left for a good while. Then he came back. And then he takes Amnon into the field with some of the other brethren. And at a certain time, he said, I want you to kill him. I want you to take his life. And so you can see this is a family that's getting, they're in a mess. And it started with David's sin, David's wrongdoing, and then it spread to other members of his family. Finally, when Absalom comes back after about 2 years, then he decides that he wants to go in and see his father David, but David won't see him. He won't see him. He didn't see his son's face for the space of about 2 years. There's such a problem of hatred in the family that had never been restored. And so Absalom goes to the gates. Remember, we talked about the gates on Sunday. what takes place there, and meet with the elders, meet with the people. And in that situation, he met with them, and he flattered them, and he got them to follow after him to the point that finally David had to run for his life. And that's what Psalm 3 is talking about, that David is literally running for his life. I want you to know that sin is far-reaching. It touches your life, but it touches the lives of your family, your relatives, and really everybody that you come in contact with when you disobey the voice of the Lord. And so that's the situation that David is in. Is there any hope for David? Actually, in verse 2, he said, there is no help for him in God. David had come to that place that he thought, no help for me. There's no way the thing can ever be solved. No way that he can be turned around. But I want to encourage you tonight, no matter what the trial is, no matter what the trouble is, the test that you're going through, the problem that you're in, there's help. There is help for you. There is help for you. And even though that David is now running for his life, and great numbers of people have increased that are coming after him to try to destroy him, and David is put in a position. He's run into the wilderness, and all he knows to do is cry out to God. Some people are tested and trialed face trials because they're righteous and the enemy attacks them. Others face trials because they have failed the Lord and they have really done things that displease the Lord. But no matter what your trial or your trouble or your heartache may be, and no matter where you are right now, I know that there's a lot of despair that seems to be associated with what's happening in our world right now, a lot of hopelessness. And that's what David said. There's no help for me. There's no help for me. But then this psalm gives the prayer of David. Praise God. The prayer in the middle of a wilderness. Prayer asking God for help in the middle of his trouble. He says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Hallelujah. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. It's one of my favorite psalms. Amen. That the Lord is our help. He is our defense. He is a personal God who knows about your needs and your problems. And he'll come to your rescue. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Many times in the Old Testament, the word that is used to describe the Lord is the word Adonai, which just means sovereign God. But then there's another word that's used which means Yahweh, Yahweh. And that's a personal God. That's the God that Moses prayed to in the wilderness at the burning bush. It was a personal God who said, I am that I am. I can come to you in your trouble, in your heartache, and I can help you, and I can deliver you. He is the Yahweh, the I am, who can come and help you no matter what you have done, no matter what your past is, no matter what your circumstance is, the Lord can help you. Praise the Lord. Amen. He is your Lord. And he is your shield of protection. All the things that are coming against you and coming against us all, we can run to the Lord and know that God is going to, he's going to protect us and secure us and help us through these trying and difficult times. Praise God. We need to believe the Lord for that. We need to believe God for victory. Amen. So much that's going on right now, it's like this cloud is hanging over our head, and we feel all weighed down by the attack of the enemy. But we need to understand to tonight that He is our shield. He is our protector. He will help you in your present situation. No matter what you're experiencing or what you're going through, you can call upon the Lord. And that's what David did out there in that wilderness. He just said, "Thou, O Lord, you're the Yahweh that met with Moses in the wilderness. You're the I Am, and you can meet with me in the middle of my trouble, in the middle of my situation." Amen. "Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." Tell you what, there's a lot of discouragement, depression. This is an attack of the enemy that affects our spirit. It attacks our faith in God. But the I Am that met with Moses and met with David can meet with you too. Can come to your situation, whatever it is that you're up against. "Thou, O Lord, art a shield." You're a defender for me. "My glory and the lifter up of my head." Praise God. Amen. We are trusting the Lord to do just that. To lift up our heads. To give strength and encouragement to these families that are really going through some tough and difficult times. But we know the Lord can reveal Himself to everyone. He said, "He is my glory." Remember, David is facing the shame of all that he had done, all of his failures, his adultery, his murder, all the things that he'd done, rejecting his family and turning away from his family. But he said, "Lord, you're the one that can lift up my head, and you can drive away the shame. Drive away the shame. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want you to know He'll bring you through. He's going to bring us through. He's going to bring the church through. Amen. Believe God. Believe God. We're going to come through this. And some of these folks that have been so sick, and other family members that are going through such a tough and a difficult time, the Lord is going to lift up their head. He's going to help them. He's going to bring them back into the presence of God, back where they can get help from the Lord. He's going to restore the joy. He's going to restore help in the middle of your trying time. Amen? Amen. Oh, that's what we need so desperately. We need help from God in the middle of all of this trying time. It wasn't too many years ago that we were going through a very fiery trial. We had situations with some of our kids, their homes, their marriages. At the same time, our son was in trouble. And during that same time, Marcia's dad was real sick. And we were, it seemed like it was too much to have to deal with. I'm so thankful that He's a personal God. He is an I Am who has brought us through, and He'll bring you through. Amen. He'll bring you through whatever you're up against. He'll deliver you. He'll save you. He'll help you. David had said, "There is no help for me in God." But David begins to cry out to God. And the Lord reveals Himself to David, and his life is turned around for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand together, everyone. Let's stand together and let's cry out. Some of you that are full of worry and fear, you're wondering if God is going to move for you. Oh, He will. He will. He's not a God that will forsake you or forget you. He is the I Am. He is the God that can meet you right where you are if you'll put your trust in Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can we call upon the Lord again tonight? Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Lord, in the midst of trials, in the midst of a lot of problems and needs, Lord, that so many are facing. Lord, we hold on to you today, Lord. We're holding on to you, Lord, because we know you're our strength. We know that you're our help, O Lord. God, and we thank you for that. Lord, would you minister mightily, Lord. Deliver these, Lord, that are facing such impossible odds. Oh, Jesus, we are believing you, Lord, to move. We're believing you, Lord, to turn things around for them. Glory to God, glory to God. Lord, we thank you for it. We're standing upon the authority of your word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God, glory be to God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, I understand that there are some that are fearful about coming out to the house of the Lord, and I totally understand that. But let's pray for one another. Let's pray for every brother and sister in the church that they can receive encouragement and help from the Lord, even if it's watching by way of the live stream. I checked today, and there was close to 200 watching Sunday. So thank the Lord for those that are watching the live stream. And let's pray for them as well. Many people that just need encouragement, need help from the Lord. Let's believe God for every one of them. Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight.